Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms 51. Psalms 51. There's nothing that's more comforting than to behold the Spirit of God recover one of his own sheep. Sheep that we know struggle with the body of death that is within. Sheep that admit they know what they are by nature. And when recovered, they can't help but express their heart of thanks, appreciation for what the God of all grace would do for them. This is what they want to do. They want to be thankful. And they admit that they're not thankful as they wish they were. They know that the Lord has done something that is so great and so marvelous that they don't know how to be thankful. Now, we all know the story of David and Bathsheba. We know of the affair that took place. We know how David had Bathsheba's husband murdered. And then we know something of the apparent indifference that David had for the better part of a year. And we know that what he did, he committed adultery, he had a man murdered, and those acts are punishable according to the law, by death. And then he went at least 9 months with an apparent spirit of indifference. But in the midst of the whole situation, Almighty God was pleased to rescue a vessel of his affection, not because of anything that he saw in David, but because the Lord delights to show mercy. Now, that which David did, according to 2 Samuel 11:27, displeased the Lord. And Almighty God sent a prophet to David and confronted him, told him a story about a man that came into town and saw his friend, and his friend, who obviously was a rich landowner, he had plenty of sheep of his own, but instead of taking one of his own sheep, he took the one little lamb that belonged to a poor man, and he took that little lamb and use that to serve his friend. David heard that and it just infuriated him. And he said, that man right there deserves to be punished. And Nathan told him, he said, you're the man. And David confessed, he said, I've sinned against God. God sent his word and blessed that word to David's heart, and it broke him. The scripture says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, we confess our sins to God. You know, we confess our faults to one another. We can readily tell one another. I see something of my frailties. I know something of my inability. I know. But listen, we don't need to be confessing our sins to anyone other than God. Our faults, yes, to each other. Confess your faults one to another. But our sins, look, I don't need to hear. I don't want to hear about your sins. I don't want you to hear about mine. I don't want to hear about others. I got enough of my own. I don't want to know somebody else's sin. Don't tell me. If there's something that somebody's done that you know about, don't tell me. I'm just too weak. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our sins are confessed to the Lord. But after Nathan came to David and confronted him, and David told Nathan, he said, "I've sinned against God." Nathan told him what he did. He said, "You took another man's wife, and you murdered her husband. You might as well have taken the bow yourself and drew that arrow back and shot Uriah. You murdered him. You put him where you did that." And the scripture now in Psalm 51, the very title of it, it says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And here's the psalm that's written. Now, here's the heart of a believer recovered. One that the Spirit of God has moved upon and caused him to just be honest. And I want us to look at these 19 verses. I'm going to just make a comment on each one. And let's listen to what God's people are brought to do in being honest. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. He moves us. So David said, Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." If there's anything that a convicted and convinced sinner is going to seek after from the Lord, it's mercy, pity. Here he asked the Lord, "Don't give me what I deserve." Mercy. Don't give me what I know is right according to the law. Just have mercy upon me according to your steadfast love and kindness. According to your tender mercies, the compassionate bowels of your pity. Blot out my transgression. Lord, you promised that you would. In Isaiah 43:25, the Lord said, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my name's sake, and will not remember thy sins." And so David asked, "Lord, have pity on me. Have mercy upon me, and would you erase my rebellion? Would you just erase it?" You know, have you ever said something and said, I wish I could take that back. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. He said, "Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty, but would you wipe it away? Would you just erase it? Would you just hide it? You said that you would not remember my sins. Now, you let a man be be cast out from the presence of God. There was a rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and lifted up his eyes out of hell. And then he'd be asked, you know, the father Abraham, he asked the Lord. Lazarus had gone to the bosom of Abraham, gone to heaven. And that rich man said, would you have Lazarus dip his finger, cool my tongue? And Father Abraham said, there's a great gulf between you and here. No crossing over. He said, you remember. I want you to remember. He'll go through all eternity remembering. But the Lord said, I'm going to blot out the transgressions of his people. And he said, I'm going to do it for my sake. I'm going to do it for my sake. You're good, but not because of your sake. But for my sake, I will not remember thy sins anymore. David said, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He said, I am so filthy. Wash me thoroughly actually means again and again, repeated. Would you wash me? Because of the heinous acts of my wickedness. Wash me thoroughly that there's no spot remaining. Wash me again and again and again. Now you know, the Lord washes us. Here's how God washes his people from their sin. Revelation 1, 4 and 5 said, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So here's what we know. We're washed clean from the debt of our sins, the guilt of our sins. We're washed by one sacrifice for sin. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But you remember when the Lord washed his disciples' feet, and Peter said, Lord, you washing my feet? He said, you'll never wash my feet. And he said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. He said, well, wash my head, my hands, whatever. He said, no, he that's washed is washed. You're washed. But there's a daily cleansing that we need. We're defiled. Sin is present with us. And we need to be washed. And the Lord washes. We're washed by the same blood daily as we were first time. But we need to be cleansed, washed through the word. We hear this word, and there's a marvelous washing that's taking place. The Lord teaching us of our continual cleansing. Cleansing, we can't do this. The Lord, David said, wash me thoroughly, wash me again and again and again. I feel that presence, that the doubts and the unfaithfulness and the questionings and the, you know, Lord, wash me again. Wash me again. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He didn't make any allowances for his guilt. It wasn't I just victim of circumstance. My environment, the people around me caught me in a bad moment. Wasn't my fault. He says, I'm guilty. I just want to be honest with you. I'm not concealing my sin. I'm guilty. I did it. I own it. I recognize it and I confess that my sin is constantly pressing upon me. It's ever on my mind. It's ever before me. It took God's power to show him, to convict him. That's the convicting grace of God. God brings his people to be honest with him. That, coming right back, if we confess our sins, he got to make me to know it. Man, by nature, just doesn't think he's that bad. He makes excuses. He said, I acknowledge my transgression. That acknowledge right there means I know it. I acknowledge it. I know it to be so. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. It wasn't that David admitted that he had wronged other human beings. He wronged Bathsheba. He wronged her husband. He wronged people. He caused some hurt. But just like that prodigal, he saw his sin to be ultimately leveled against God. He did do it to others around him, but he violated God's law. Sin is a transgression of God's law. He failed to love the Lord his God with all of his heart, mind, and soul. He failed to love his neighbor as himself. He said, I've done this against you. Against thee and thee only. And he admitted that he had dared to commit such aggravation of rebellion while the eye of God was upon him. God was watching him. God saw him. God saw him the night he looked at Bathsheba. God heard him when he told his soldier captain there. He said, you put Uriah. God heard that. David admitted, I acknowledge that you're right and I'm wrong. And I deserve all that your law declares me to deserve. I deserve that. Any judgment that you pass upon me is right. Any sentence that I receive from you is not beyond the measure that I know justly to be. Then he confessed that he knew that his sin and his laxed attitude toward that sin wasn't something that he just found out. He said, this wasn't something that just came upon me and all of a sudden I just slipped. He said, verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, I've had this problem as soon as I was conceived. When soul and body was united, sin was there. I was a sinful creature from the beginning. Because no creature, no man, no woman born in Adam is free from sin's pollution. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So he said, I was shaped, I was made this way. I've always been like this. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now here, David confesses a marvelous thing. He said, I know what man was created to be. This is the way God made man. He made him upright. And he said, I know that this is the way. He said, this, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. When God made Adam, God didn't make him a sinful creature. Created him upright. But he said, Lord, I know your will for your people. I know that for your people, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. I know, Lord, it's by your grace and your will and your purpose that there's anything concerning me that would be acceptable to you, and it's that I be found in Christ, and Christ be formed in me. Lord, you made man stable, faithful. But Lord, it was my fault, my sin. We, the sheep of God, are born just like all men. We're wretched sinners, depraved and without God. But it's the good pleasure of God. It's the good will of Almighty God to have His people to be holy and without blame before Him in love, accepted in the Beloved. That's God's will. That's God's purpose. That's what He's saying. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part, hidden from man, that thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And then He says, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In Exodus 12, I'll read this, or you can turn there, Exodus 12. The scripture on the night that the Lord was going to pass over His people in Egypt. The scripture says, Exodus 12, 21, 22, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. Why? Because God was going to pass through Egypt that night. And Almighty God was going to kill the firstborn of everything. Men, animals, everything. He said, but now you put the blood on the side post lintel. And He said, when I pass through, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. You take that blood, you kill that lamb, picture of His blessed Son. The blood that was shed, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of His blood, not bulls and goats, but His blood, precious blood, faithful blood, holy blood. And you take that hyssop, you dip it in the basin, you collect that blood, and you put it on the doorpost, put it over, and get inside, you get behind the blood. Don't you get outside. You stay there. When I come through, I'll see the blood. I'll see that which sets forth the faithfulness and the sacrifice of my Son, the one in whom I'm well pleased. And when I see the blood on your door, where I tell you, I'll pass over you. David said, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, you put the blood. You purge me. I can't put it on me. Lord, you put it. Lord, don't let me bear the blame. I'm guilty. I admit it. I confess it. I'm asking you to have pity on me. I'm not in a bargaining position. Lord, take away my blame. And I'll be white. I'll be clean. I'll be, the scripture says, Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Lord, only you can take the blood of Christ and wash me white. White as snow. You think about blood and putting on and being white, and the natural man says, that don't make sense to me. I tell you what, though, to a believer, he said, this is what God says. Lord, you wash me in the blood of Christ, and I'm going to be clean. Verse 8, Psalm 51. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David, no doubt, he grew up hearing the scriptures. This, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart. And he'd heard the gospel read. He'd heard the scriptures read. And the Lord had set him apart. This, you know, like this boy. That you mean that young, that ruddy one out there in the field? Yeah, that's the one. That's right. That's what, this is God's anointed. This was God's chosen king. This was God. This was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'd heard him. He'd heard the scriptures before. But he sin and rebellion had interrupted that fellowship, that sensitivity to God. And now, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it heartily. That's what he did. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Lord, you know, you take somebody that, a believer, that has stumbled and fallen, and the Lord's revealed it to them. And again, they're not, those made honest before God, they're not going to justify themselves. He knows, and the rebel knows, and this they know. And you're thinking, who am I kidding? I'm not kidding anybody. Can you imagine the brokenness and the desire? Oh, can I come back? Can I come back and hear again? Lord, would you allow me to hear again? Make me to hear joy and gladness. The bones that you've broken. The weight of sin. The weight of my guilt. The weight of your exposing me, it's crushed me. And I deserve to be crushed. I deserve to be put out. I know that. But Lord, would you let me hear of your forgiveness? Can I just breathe? Can I just hear the joyful sound of forgiveness? Would you make me to hear joy? And would you cause me to be able to rejoice again? Lord, you've shown me what I am. Let me hear. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquity. Just, I know, hide your face. Lord, I know you saw it. I know your omniscience. I did this in the sight of him who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And he's praying, Lord, don't mark it to my account. Lord, hide thy face from my sins. Lord, if you marked iniquity, Lord, who could stand? I'm asking you, Lord, to erase and cancel and destroy all of my sins. You said, well, he just asked that in verse 2. I know, I'm just asking again. Have you ever done that? Praying, you know, Lord, have you ever prayed this? Lord, forgive me. Somebody said, well, you've asked that before, I know. But I need to ask it again. I just, you know. Create, verse 10, in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, a man left to himself goes nowhere but downward. Unrestrained lust in David, according to his confession, led to adultery, which led to murder, and then led to rejection and isolation before God. But sovereign mercy drew David to cry that which only a believer will cry. He says, Lord, create in me. Only God can create. Only God can make something out of nothing. He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke them. Things that appear were not made out of things which are. He just, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a constant spirit in me. You said, well, I know, but doesn't a believer already have a clean heart and a right spirit? A believer is the only one that's going to ask God to do something that God's already done. Here again, the world says, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, that's all right, but I can tell you this. A believer is the one that says, Lord, please forgive me. And the Lord's forgiven him. Lord, create in me a clean heart. We're so aware of our stumblings and our failings that we're constantly asking the Lord, which he's already been pleased to do. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away. Now, a believer knows this. The Lord has already promised. In the last day, there's going to be many that's going to say unto him, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, we've done many wonderful works in your name. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I know there's going to be many that the Lord's going to cast out. And David's asking, he said, don't cast me away. Don't take your Holy Spirit away.